Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we're going to wind back the clock and enjoy a classic program with your host, psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson. What comes to mind when you think of a mother of a toddler? Tired? Busy? Stressed? Well, on today's edition of Family Talk, my dad sits down with a panel of mothers who all have a wealth of knowledge about raising young children. So let's go ahead and pick up with my dad, Dr. James Dobson, as he introduces our guests on today's edition of Family Talk.
On my left is Carol Kewett. Carol, you have two children, don't you?
Yes.
Their ages are?
2.5 and 7 months.
And your husband does what?
He's a typographer, works for Xerox.
And you're a full-time homemaker.
Yes.
And glad to be so.
Yes.
And sitting next to you is Kathy Hogan. And your husband does what?
He's an audio engineer.
And you're also a full-time homemaker.
Yes.
And I don't think it would embarrass you. I believe you have given us permission to say that you are 35 years of age.
Yes, I am.
And so you're starting your family, or at least you're perhaps ending your family a little later in life.
Right. Got a late start, but we're loving it.
I was 35 when Ryan was born, so I understand where you're coming from. And Carrie Betts, you have three children, including twins, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Their ages are what?
I have twin identical daughters at 21 months, and I have a son 10 months.
And you were how old when you got married?
I was 17.
And how old when you had your first child?
I had the twins at 18 and 3 by 19.
And you're 19 now.
Yes.
Now, I'm sure that our listeners will recognize the fact that we've brought mothers representing different walks of life, different age categories, different financial strata, and I'm sure that listeners will identify with each of you in a little different way. Sitting straight across from me is Brenda Thompson, and you have three children.
Yes.
Give us their ages.
I have an 8-year-old, and I have a set of identical twin girls that is 2.
You and Carrie have got a lot in common with twins.
That's
and
okay.
I guess you all struck up a friendship as you were coming in here.
Yes.
Is there a special problem in raising twins? Is that different? How is that different? Just in the briefest number of words.
In the sense that where we a lot of times try to categorize children and thinking they're a lot alike. And twins, because they're the exact same age, they are different. They're different individuals and totally separate.
Mindy Griffith, Mindy and I have been friends for a number of years. You have 4 children.
Yes.
Name them.
Burton is 6, Telfer is 5, Eleanor is 3.5, and Austin is 1.5.
And your husband is a surgeon finishing his he's actually finished a residency.
Yes, he has. He's the supervisor of residence at County General Hospital, Los Angeles.
And he has done 400 surgical cases in what period of time?
In the last 7 months.
He is, because of this period of training, he's obligated to be at the hospital 100 hours a week.
Yes, it's been about 100 hours a week the last 5 or 6 years.
And when he comes home, there's still other things to be done.
Right. The phone rings, the beeper goes off, the journals and the textbooks are waiting.
Mindy, I'm going to start with you because having 4 kids and handling this responsibility largely alone, you told me before we came in that you had had a particularly difficult night last night. And when you got up this morning, you just sat down and wrote out your thoughts of what kind of night it had been. Well, why don't we start with your sharing that poem with us? Because I think that's really unique.
When I stepped out of bed, the first line came to me, and I thought I better write this down. And after I was done, I entitled it A Night's Sleep. I am a machine, and I smell like green beans. They are squished in my hair. They are with me everywhere. I get up at 11 o'clock, and I get up again. I get up at 2:10. Then I sleep some more. Yes, I sleep till 4, when up I get, because the kids are wet. Then it's back to bed, and I rest my head. I close my eyes, and my dreams touch the skies. But the clock was set wrong, and it chimes dong, dong. The alarm is set off, and I shut it off. And a voice says to me, "Would you please go and see what time it is really? I am really pretty weary. Were you up in the night? Are you feeling all right?" And my feet hit the floor, and they walk out the door, and they take me to the clock as it goes tick-tock. I am a machine. Now it's coffee beans, but they smell much better. And I need to write a letter to encourage my friends when they think they've reached the end and they've had enough of this mommy stuff. For I'm not a machine, and the shower gets me clean. And as I start another day, he is with me all the way.
Oh, boy, that's beautiful, Mindy. Yeah. Do you feel that you get to the end sometimes?
Oh, yes. And sometimes I just go ahead and let myself fall apart in front of the kids. I sit on the floor, and if I need to cry, I cry. And I think I pray that they will learn.
Now, you have always been a rather controlled person, haven't you? I'm asking
at least outwardly.
Yeah, I'm asking a serious question because I've known you for some time. And is this recognition that you're struggling something you had to come to over time?
Yes. When I was in third grade, my teacher wrote a Valentine poem for each one in the class, and mine was entitled Meticulous Melinda. And with the third, that all fell apart. I did pretty well with the first two.
How about the fourth?
Well, the fourth was better. Having a five-year-old as the oldest instead of a three-year-old as the oldest made a big difference. Hmm. But along that line, the prayer for today here in my little book is, "My Father, may my mistakes be my teachers. May my failures be my warnings. Turn the foolishness of yesterday into the wisdom of today."
Mm. Oh, that's wonderful.
Boy, that's
I had an interesting introduction to anger and children. Our first child was a foster child, and we didn't have the 9 months of preparation. We had the few months of papers, which doesn't seem like a pregnancy, and it doesn't seem like the child is coming, and then he's there. And I was amazed to find out that I could get angry, so much I went running to our pastor because I thought, I was hit in the face with, I am a sinner. I've always heard that. I grew up in a Christian home, became a Christian early, and grew and pretty much never doubted my salvation and thought I had it by the tail, I guess. I don't think I was egocentric, but perhaps I was. And then when I found myself getting angry at this 10-month-old, he entered our house at 10 months old, I was just astonished, and I thought I was losing it. And I find myself getting angry at myself because I'm angry, and if I really had it together, I would have had a quiet time, and then the Lord could have ministered to me, and then bad feelings wouldn't, you know, you get angry that you even let yourself get angry.
Oftentimes, especially as Christian mothers, we have this image in our mind that we have to, you know, always have the answer, always have the cool, be cool, you know. What would the neighbors think, you know? Hmm. All these false ideas about being a good mother. You know, it's wrong to holler at your child. Stop hollering at that baby. You don't understand. But sometimes, you know, it's good to just say something and just get it off your chest, and then you can deal with the afternoon a little better, you know. Instead of saying, oh, I'm going to go pray. I'm going to go in the closet and pray, and I'll feel better when I come out.
But what will they have done while you're in the closet?
Go hide.
Carrie, you find yourself getting angry at your children?
Constantly. Right now it's really hard for me because my son Jordan, you know, he's starting to walk. Crawls, he's able to get into things. My daughters have these things for the pantry. They get into everything. They get all over the floor. And it's so frustrating. You know, I get to the point to where I block them out. I get the, you know, chairs to the table and block them out. But they've learned that they can crawl under. And they still do. They still do it. And I feel like I can, like she said, go in a closet or go in a corner and just scream. It's, you know, pull your hair out. I'm surprised I'm not gray. I'm surprised I'm just not.
At 19 years of age. Kathy, has anger been a problem for you?
Oh, sure. Just recently I took my two kids to have their hair cut, and my little girl was getting her first haircut. So I took pictures and the whole thing, and I was so pleased. And my son saw how pleased I was that, you know, his little sister was getting her hair cut. He's four. And I was on the phone when we got home, and all of a sudden he emerged from the bedroom with scissors with blonde hair on them. Mom, you liked her haircut so much I thought I'd cut it again. I nearly died. I screamed and hollered and stomped my feet. And it was, what do you do in a case like that?
What do you feel like after you have exploded? Do you feel guilt?
Yeah, a lot of times I feel guilt. A lot of times now I look back on that situation and I can laugh. Mm-hmm. And I think it's funny and it's something I wrote in the baby book. And there are a lot of times I wish I could take that breath first. And one of the things I do try to do, and I'm not always successful, is to maintain a delight at the mischief of childhood. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to do that.
I thought about that.
So, you know, when the toilet paper is from the bathroom to the living room to the kitchen, you know, you have to stand there and say, where's the camera, right?
Mm-hmm. My toddler's trick was the bathroom door, none of our doors lock, and only two of them close securely. The other ones, you can't quite pull shut. But the bathroom door sticks. But if the older kids forget to make it stick, he can push it open. And someone forgot to let the bathtub water out of the bathtub. And when everyone was ready for church, Austin gets in with all of his clothes on.
On a Sunday morning?
Yes, on a Sunday morning.
When my son was being potty trained, it was interesting. He'd be all dressed to the nines, and then he'd fill his shoes on the way to the car, you know?
That's what I have. Because the twins, they're potty trained, and they're doing pretty good. But that's what they do. Whenever they're totally dressed and looking cute as a button, that's when they decide they want to go to the pot and don't tell anyone.
Speaking of potty training, have you all mastered that problem?
That was the tallest wall of motherhood. I could not see over it. I was sure he'd be 5 years old. And
yes.
I prayed the hardest.
First, I used to say, at least by kindergarten, it'll happen. Now I say, at least by college. That's good.
It does happen, right?
Yes. Yeah. I've decided. I had two boys and a girl, and now I have another boy. And I've decided the older two can train the little boy now. I've done enough.
Are they accepting that assignment?
Oh, it's not happening yet.
Definitely. I'm diapering three, so I have an assembly line. That's what I have to do, you know, get three diapers and get the powder and get the wipes and everything and say, okay, lay down. And sometimes they go get the diapers and they lay down, or one will tell the other one to lay down. It's just so funny to hear
it. So you do all three at one time?
Yeah. Matter of fact, one time I was changing one of them, and my son Jordan was taken off into the kitchen. I said, you know, Jordan, come back. You know, I'm going to change you. And all of a sudden I see my daughter coming in rear first at me, and I look over and she is dragging him with his feet, and he is laughing. He just loved it, bringing him back to me so he can get changed. And I thought that was the funniest thing, and I thought maybe, you know, she hurt him. So I looked, you know, rolled him over and looked at his face, and he just thought that was the funniest thing, you know, when they go to play with them and, you know, bring them in to get changed. It's so funny to watch them.
So close. That's nice.
I'd like to see they're that. Very, very close. I mean, they're 11 months, 4 days apart. And, you know, we're talking three kids in a year, you know.
Kathy, really decorating.
You are 35 years of age, and you have two children under four. Carrie, you are 19, just turning 20, and you have three children. So you both come from a kind of a different age category. Kathy, I'll address the question to you. Do you think it would have been easier to have had children this age when you were Carrie's age?
No, based on the person that I was when I was Carrie's age. I'm very impressed with her. I don't think I would have had it as together as she has when I was her age.
How do you see that, Carrie? Would it have been easier to be a little older?
Sometimes I really feel that way. I think, gee whiz, if I could have waited until I was 22, or we could have done this, we could have, you know, gone here, and we can go out and without having to find a babysitter, trying to make 50 phone calls to, you know, find one. But then, on the other hand, I think, well, the Lord obviously wanted me to have my kids at an early age, you know. And I had to grow up really quick.
Carrie, it's very important for you to share your situation. In fact, each of you is here because you represent a large number of people in our audience. And so as we talk, I'm anxious for you all to describe your particular situation, because somebody will identify with it. And let's start with yours, Carrie. So you got out of high school. You immediately found yourself with three children on your hands. What has that meant? How has that changed your life? And what have been the special struggles associated with it?
Well, my best friend since seventh grade, I lost her friendship. I remember one time she came over. We were going to go to a store, and she said, do they have to come? You know, she didn't want my girls to come, so I turned around and said, no, I'm going to leave them here to attend to themselves. You know, you know, they're only 11 months old. You know, sure, they can stay by themselves and go to bed, no problem. And
She wanted it to be the way it had been before.
Right, yeah.
And it could never be the way it was before.
No. And it's just got to the point to where I don't have any friends. At least I don't feel I have any friends. Nobody calls me up and says, hey, Carrie, let's go out to lunch. Hey, Carrie, let's go shopping, you know, or anything.
Really Children hard. Have isolated you not only from that one friend then, but from all your peers because you're a little ahead of them in this stage.
Mm-hmm. I was just talking to my husband about this the other day. Sometimes I feel upset because I see these girls or women my age that have, you know, are able to pamper themselves, to be able to sit there with their toes up being painted and their fingernails and getting their hair done and being able to go off on a nice shopping spree and out to lunch. And here I am with, you know, all these no nail polished and my hair looks a mess. And I don't want to say that they're not bothering me. They're just, I'm always with them in the house, like four corners in a little room, and not able to get away, just me and my husband, to where we're really looking to see if we can fit in a vacation, you know, just for the weekend in our budget. But as it looks now, it's not happening. Yeah. Last time we had a vacation away from the kids was when the girls were about 3 months old.
Carrie, is there not someone that you can trade off with so that you could at least go for a walk with your husband? It doesn't cost anything to do that.
Trade off how?
You keep their kids and they keep yours for even an hour or 2 hours.
No.
There's no one that you know that...
Not even in your Sunday school class?
My Sunday school class, a lot of people live further away. A lot of them have jobs, you know, and just have one kid. I'm the youngest, you know, of course. You know, how many kids, you know, people with three kids and 19 years old.
Maybe you should say where you live. Maybe someone will call it.
In my Sunday school class, four of us moms have made a bargain with our four-year-olds that each week the boys are at a different house. So I have one time a month when I have all four of them at my house, and the other three Fridays a month, my son is gone. And even though I still have my daughter, that gives me a little bit of time to spend with her to throw her in the stroller and go shopping.
One less is always easy, don't you think?
Yes. And that has been such
a
blessing.
That's two for me, you know. It's
but, you know, in listening, you see, I keep coming back to the same, seeing myself, so to speak, because now all of my friends, I have no peers now with small children. So now I'm isolated also in that respect. The only difference is that, hey, I take my babies everywhere that I'm going to go. So I backpack them and come on with it. We got apple and crackers and we going. You know?
You're just not going to stay home.
That's why I'm not going to stay home because, you know, when they were really little, I knew I couldn't be taking them out a lot because they were preemies and I, you know, didn't want to risk any injury to them. So I stayed home the whole first year. Literally.
Do the rest of you all identify with where she is?
I think that's some of where anger comes from. When you were talking about anger, it's you're not in control. In college, I remember thinking this is the hardest it's ever going to be is college. And I went for a 4-0 as many times as I could, and I'd stay up, and it was always I could do it. Yeah. And it came to me not too long ago that I'm limited, and that was another thing that you don't like to admit, or when people say you have limits, you really don't even believe them. Mm-hmm. No, not me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where anger for me comes, because it means that I'm not in control.
Carol, what were the hardest times for you? What were the moments that stand out in your mind as the most frustrating?
I can't think of a specific example, but the category is I feel that I'm cheating somebody because I need to owe somebody else. I'm cheating child number two because I owe child number one. I'm cheating child number one because we have child number two. I'm cheating my husband because we have children.
Kathy, you said when we were in my office that you feel like everybody wants your body.
Yes.
Everybody's demanding something.
Yes, there is no time when somebody doesn't want me for something. Mm. And it just gets to the point where you're depleted. You have nothing more to give.
Yeah, that's true.
We went out last Friday night.
Yeah.
And we had a wonderful, Christian, loving, competent babysitter who has three little siblings. Hmm. And I thought, you know, oh, she'll just be fine. And we came home, and I was a little consoled to see that she looked pretty haggard.
Yeah.
And she said, well, they just all need you at the same time. I said, yes, I know. She said, well, I understand my mother better now.
Mindy, you mentioned to me that you once admitted in a Sunday school class that you had screamed at your kids and lost control, and that half the class was shocked and the other half was delighted to know that somebody else had gone through that.
You know, we try and be our best person, and we are looked at as someone that has things all together. Mm-hmm. And I usually am smiling or crying. And it's often smiling, and so people assume that everything's fine, mm-hmm. and that, you know, nothing has gone wrong. And if all of us can just admit to someone, you know, it doesn't have to be to a whole mm-hmm. class. I get weak moments sometimes and just let it all out. But, you know, to admit to someone what you need and what happens to you when they're all there, and to ask for help. With my third, I remember deciding if anybody even hints that they might like to take the kids off my hands for an hour, say, oh, yes, that would be wonderful. When? And get their phone number. No more of this saying, oh, no, I really don't need any help. I'm just fine. Don't do that. Don't do that. You need it. Admit it.
Let me see if this illustration will make sense to you all. When I was in college, I decided to participate in an intramural track meet, and I hadn't trained for it, and I decided to run the mile. And I really wasn't in shape for it. I had been the previous year, and I wasn't that year. And so the gun went off, and we began to run, and I took the lead. And as we rounded the first lap, I was about 40 yards in front of everybody else. And you know what happened. I mean, you know what happened. On a second lap, I was exhausted. Mm-hmm. And I collapsed on the edge of the track, sucking air like crazy and trying to keep my heart going. And I learned something from that. There are sprints and there are marathons. Mm-hmm. And when you're involved in a marathon, you run it different.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
You run a long race different than a short race. Mm-hmm. And raising children is a long race.
Yes.
And you have got to pace yourself in mm-hmm. such a way that you can get them through those preschool years and mm-hmm. into school.
Oh,
and to do that, you got to have some time for yourself, some mm-hmm. time out. I'm not sure that I know the answers, Carrie, exactly how you do that in the situation you're in, but I know that if there's nothing coming in, mm-hmm. you'll burn out and you'll fall on the backside of the track gasping for air. You have got to find a pace that you can keep for mm-hmm. 5 or 6 years, or if you have children over a 2 or 3 or 4 year period, 10 or 12 years mm-hmm. until you can get some help.
Something that I think might be important to add here, and it's something that I've discovered in my own life, is we become very concerned about the nutrition and the rest that our children get. And we tend to burn ourselves out or skip lunch because you have to do something else. Mm-hmm. I find that on the days when I'm not eating right, when I'm trying to stay up too late and do some kind of a project, I know I'm going to pay for it the next day. And that's a very practical thing, but moms need to really be concerned about what they're eating, mm-hmm. the kind of rest they're getting. It's so tempting for me because I'm a perfectionist. When they go down or my son is busy listening to a tape or a record or something, to think, oh, I can clean the bathroom. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's a time I need to sit down and put my feet up. Only place I am alone is in the shower, and that's because my daughter's afraid of the shower.
Yes.
And I escape there sometimes. My daughter has made herself the personal toilet paper dispenser for the family.
You haven't tried to alleviate that fear of the shower, have you? No.
My husband says, your showers are getting longer and longer.
The thing that I've had to learn to stop doing is putting a lot on my daughter, my 8-year-old. Mm. Because she just picked up so well that I got to a point where Ron's mama, mama's going to the bathroom. I'll be right back and staying there an hour. You know, she knocking on the door, Mom. So I had to learn to stop doing that so much too, you know.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to break into the program and save the rest for tomorrow. You've been listening to the first part of a classic program titled Mothers of Toddlers here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and if you'd like more help in finding some resources about how to raise young kids, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. We have lots of books and articles and other resources available, including both of my dad's bestsellers, Bringing Up Boys and Bringing Up Girls. Also, when you contact us, consider making a donation to help us maximize the matching grant that we currently have in play right now. Recently, we received a generous matching grant to further the ministry of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, which means that every dollar you commit to us this month immediately doubles, increasing our ability to touch lives of more people. Would you give today? You can donate by visiting our website, again, drjamesdobson.org, by calling us at 877-732-6825 via our Facebook page or the Family Talk smartphone app. Thanks for helping us maximize the grant and reach our financial goals of this year. And don't forget to tune in next time for the conclusion of Mothers of Toddlers, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.